I just want to encourage you in this room and online. And I think we have to be reminded that no matter what we face, the name of Jesus is above it. And sometimes we face things that takes our breath away. We're overwhelmed. We don't know what to do. All we need to do is just say Jesus. And he's the close. He is as close as the mention of his name. So when you say Jesus, he shows up. And when you say Jesus, you're saying a name that is above anything you and I could face, whatever name that is. And I just want to encourage you today, God is for you, not against you, and that Jesus is with you. And because of that, you and I will overcome. We can triumph. We can be delivered. We can be healed because of Jesus. Let's give him one more great hand clap of praise. I believe it today. His name is above it. In fact, right now in this moment, in this room and online, I pray in the name of Jesus over all of us today. Whatever we're facing physically, whatever we're facing emotionally, mentally, in our family, in our finances, but no matter what this is, I pray the name of Jesus over it today. And Lord, I pray the peace of God, the healing of God, the goodness of God for everyone in this room and online, that we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that when we speak the name of Jesus, it is above anything and greater. And Lord, we look to you for our deliverance. We look to you for our peace. We say yes and amen to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe it. How about you today? I believe it. Well, please turn to your neighbor and tell him Jesus loves you and God bless you. Amen. Encourage someone today. You at home, encourage someone today online. And you may be seated today. Thank you so much for being here in this room and online. I want to welcome our online campus. I also want to welcome all the recovery centers that are watching us right now. Thank you so much. We love our online campus, and you're a part of us. And if you are new to City, in person or online, we ask you to please make 3 visits here because we think it takes a little bit of time to get to know us, and we would love the chance to get to know you as we love, as we build, and as we lead. And I'm excited about the second message of this series entitled First Things First. So all month long, we're talking about what is first in our life. You know, what is first is very important because what is first in our life has power over our life. And so last week I preached on first love. And maybe check that out if you missed it on the website or the app. And today I want to preach a message entitled First Day. Everyone say first day, please. First day. And I want to talk about the biblical principle of honoring God on the first day of the week by being here in a local church, here at City Church, and watching online, because it's biblical, and really even more so, did you know that Jesus himself, the Son of God, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, it was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. In other words, other versions say that Jesus went to church every week. So if the Son of God went to church every week, I think we should be in church as much as possible. How many believe that? I need it. I don't know about you, but you say, well, you're the pastor. I know, but I need it for myself. And I'm worshiping for me to touch God, and I'm preaching to me. And I'm not preaching at you. I'm talking with you. I need church just like you because God set this up that way. And so I want to preach on that today. I want to give you practical application, and I believe that God is going to move in this moment. Amen. So, Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in this room and online. Lord, I pray right now that you would keep us safe in this moment and as we go about our week. I thank you for keeping us from all plagues and sickness and disease, as you promised us in Psalms 91. Lord, I pray that every one of us would willingly right now lay down any resistance we may have to being here, to hearing a message, to being a part of this. We would lay that down and we would receive something. I pray that all of us would set aside distractions for a few moments to receive something. I pray that all of us would lean in with our heart, with our mind, with our attention, that we would get something from this and apply it to our life. May your kingdom come and your will be done. And I thank you for the continual moving of the Holy Spirit in this place and online. To all of us, in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read verse 23, 24, 25, and I want to unpack this today and make this succinct in what Jesus has for us when we connect in and through a local church. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, the first part of this chapter, the writer is really emphasizing the fact that Jesus defeated the enemy and he cleansed us of our sins once and for all. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? He took our place. He died on the cross and he was raised from the dead. And if you don't know him, please receive him today. And if you're far from him, come back to him. That's the first part of the chapter. And the last part of this chapter in Hebrews, he's really encouraging the readers to persevere, to make it to the end, and to just endure in their walk of faith. And so here is that theme in verse 23. He says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm." I love this. "For God can be trusted to keep his promise." Maybe you circle that in your Bible or on your phone. "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together." He's referencing coming together for church. "As some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." I want to just encourage you. I'm going to preach just right from these verses today. This is my goal every weekend. There's something about you and I keeping the first day for God. There's something about starting off the week by coming to God's house and letting the first day be a time that we make God first, that sets the tone for the rest of the week. I want to make a few statements before I break down these verses. I'm not saying that when you come to church, all your problems are going to be solved, or that your marriage issues will be fixed in a moment. You have all the money you ever need and everything's gonna be great. I would say the opposite. As you get plugged into a church, you may still have financial struggle. You may have marital ups and downs, and you may have just the normal ebbs and flow of life. And yet when you and I anchor our life in Jesus and we make the first day, we start off our week, the first day of the week, by honoring God and being in his house, which thank you for being here today and watching online. We're honored that you're here. It does something for the rest of the week, and it also is building something in our life. So our life may not be changed in a moment, but I believe when you and I come together in unity with the body of Christ, a local church, our marriages can be healed. God can increase our finance. He can touch every detail of our lives. He can heal our bodies. He can do what we can't do. How many believe that? I believe that God can touch anything. But it may not happen the first time we come to church. It may not happen, you know, on the second time. But it's a rhythm. It's a rhythm for us individually. It's a rhythm for our family. It's a rhythm for what we're building our life on. Now, this is a biblical concept. Recently, I preached on that in the Old Testament, there was over 600 commandments that God gave his people through Moses, but only 10 of them, the 10 commandments, God spoke audibly over all of his people. And for the first time, God's voice was heard by over a million people on top of a mountain as God came on that mountain and spoke out of the fire and spoke the 10 commandments. One of those 10 commandments is to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. So in the Old Testament, then segueing into the New Testament, for a Jewish family or someone adopted into that community, they would honor God and make the Sabbath a day of rest, but they would be in the temple or the synagogue, we would call it a church, they would be in there on the Sabbath, and they would read scripture, they would honor God, and it was a part of their faith by keeping God first on the first day of the week. As I mentioned, Jesus, as he grew up in a Jewish home, followed that model, and he went to church. And it was his custom to be in church. And if he was in church, then it does good for you and I too. I would also say this, and I'll get started with these verses, that hear me when I say this. When I preach this message, not all churches are equal. And what I mean by that is, that at City Church, we bless all churches. We are on the same team that lift up the name of Jesus, okay? We're not in competition. But I would say that it's important that we are in a church that has a living faith in Christ, that we're in a church that has a live worship, that we're in a church that provides something for the family, which is why we invest staff and resources in City Kids. How many love City Kids? Right now, they're being taught the Word of God. We love teenagers in the movement with Pastor Kim tonight, having a big outreach and a pool party. If you're a teenager, go to the pool party. We love teenagers. We have groups for people to connect. We have ministries for all ages. All that's important because there's something about coming with the family or by yourself, whatever, coming to God's house on the first day of the week. We don't always feel like it. Maybe we don't always feel the Holy Spirit moving around us, but something's happening on the inside of us. And the rhythm of doing that is creating a bedrock for us to stand and build our family on a sure foundation. There's something about our kids being with other kids learning about Jesus. There's something about our teenagers being with other teens, having fun and learning about Jesus. There's something about being in this room or online and worshiping God together. There's just something about it that is beyond natural. It's supernatural, and God's moving in this more than we feel. So I know you're here today, so I'm not preaching at you. I want to encourage me and you that we continue to honor God on the first day. And I'm not saying you got to be here every Sunday or judgment's going to happen. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying make it a rhythm in your life. Make it a part of the culture of your home that you're going to honor God on the first day and honor God and keep him number one. Can someone say amen? When you and I, please write this down or put this in your heart. When we make the decision to make church a part of our life, God will give the provision for us to do it. In other words, he'll give us the grace and the mercy, especially families with young kids. Come on, somebody, right? Sometimes it's hard in the mornings. I'll talk about that here in a moment. But when you and I make the decision, this is what we're going to do, God gives the provision to do it, the grace to do it in a rhythm, in a rhythmatic way of our life that really is building beyond what we understand. And so what does the scripture teach us here? Jesus went to church, and then in Luke chapter 4, he read the scriptures about himself, and God moved. Notice what the scriptures teach us in verse 23, 24, and 25. Here's three things that I believe happen when you and I are connected in a local church, because when you and I plant ourselves in a local church, the Bible says that as we grow older, we will still be fresh and producing fruit for God. I want that. How about you? So number one, he says here in verse 23, to hold tightly. Everyone say hold tightly, please. Hold tight to the hope that we profess. Hold tight to what God has said. Notice he says here in verse 23, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. I want to encourage you to hold tight to what God said. Hold tight to what he's doing. Hold tight to what he has promised. Hold tight to your salvation. Hold tight to your faith. Because I would say if you and I don't intentionally hold on tightly, that invariably we will let go of that and grab on to something else. You know, a lot of people hold on tightly to a lot of different things. Most people in the world hold tightly to their phones. It's said that people check their phones over 500 times a day just to see what happened. What happened? What happened? Over 500. Some people over 1,000 times a day. It's funny, if you watch YouTube, they have videos of children getting their game system taken from them as punishment, and how they act out and lose their minds. What's really funny and sad is a few of those clips are from children that are over 30 years old, living in their parents' basement, and their dad threw away their gaming system, and they freaking lose their minds. It's both hilarious and really sad. Many people hold tightly to their games. Some hold too tight to their money, too tight to themselves, too tight maybe to wrong relationships, and relationships are a good thing, but if they're wrong, we can hold tight and misplace the order of first things first. We are to hold tightly to Jesus. And one way we hold tightly to Jesus is I want to encourage you, is to be in the house of God. Even as you're here today on the first day of the week, you're worshiping. You made a decision to be here. You're watching. You're a part of this. It's a way of affirming what you believe and what your family believes, and you're holding tight to that belief. Of course, I would also say read the scriptures on your own. Have a rhythm to read the Bible every day. It doesn't matter if it's a verse or a chapter or whatever. Just do it every day. Let the Word of God be soul food for your soul, because it is. And receive that. Pray every day. And let God begin to move in you as you pray. It doesn't have to be religious. Just pray and seek God. I want to encourage you also, just in a practical sense, to hold tightly as we're in a local church. I want to encourage you to join a group. In 2 weeks, we have group launch here at City Church. It's our fall semester for groups. I just want to encourage you, this is biblical. In Acts chapter 2, when the church first started, we see clearly they met in big rooms like this, and then they went from house to house. And so this idea of smaller groups and bigger groups was the start of the church. And this big church can become really small when you join a group and meet people just like you and that are different than you. And you can forge relationships and move forward. And we have groups of all types of emphasis and, if you will, styles. But look on the website today if you want. But I want to encourage you to be in prayer over what group you can join. And if you join a group and it doesn't work, go to another group. Just keep trying until you find something. But this is a way that you and I hold tightly to our faith. Not only are we in a local church, but then we're processing what it offers and we're taking advantage of what God says to do, and it helps our grip get tighter and tighter in our faith for Jesus. And I know some of us are strong in our faith, and others of us are growing, and others of us don't know where we're at in our faith. And I respect all the ranges in this room and online, but I would say for all of us in this room, if you and I are not intentional about holding tightly, our grip will loosen and we will shift to holding something else. It's just a part of our nature. We have to be in a rhythm to keep this fire burning and to keep our first things first by starting on the first day, honoring God and keeping Him first. All that helps in us holding tightly to Him. Maybe ask you a question here in this moment, and all of us in this room and online, is what are you holding tightly to today? What is your grip holding on to the most? And the other things I mentioned, phones and games and money and, you know, people and dreams and vision, you know, business, all that, nothing's wrong with all that. It's just, what are we holding on to the most? And guys, Jesus is the anchor of our soul. And when we feed Him first and we feed our faith first, everything else can be in order. This is so important that our homes are in order, whether, you know, it's by ourselves, with roommates, with the family, that we are in order. And the first day of the week, honoring God in this way, is setting the stage for the rest of the week and setting the stage for the rest of our lives. And we're building something many times beyond what we feel or see. But we're doing something that is profound, and we're holding tight. Everyone say, hold tight. I want to encourage you to hold tight onto God. Don't let go. Don't let something get you to loosen your grip. Hold on to Jesus. Notice here in verse 24, then the writer says, let us think of ways. Notice, let us think of ways. Let's be creative. Let's be proactive. Let's think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, which tells me these are two different things. I want to encourage you, when you and I come to a local church, it's not perfect. But we don't come to church for a perfect experience, and we don't come to be perfect or to be with perfect people. If you do, we will be disappointed. We come to worship Jesus, who is perfect, who is the head of His church, who has the ability to heal and do what we can't do for ourselves, and to empower us to reach out beyond ourselves. So when you and I come on the first day and we make this a rhythm for our lives, for our family, we're fortifying what we do as a unit, what we believe. We're in a church that's alive. We're in a church that has activity. The Holy Spirit's moving in the place. People are responding. When that happens, God is doing something beyond what we see. And obviously, He says, we're able to hold, or I would say we're empowered to hold tightly. And then He says, you and I can motivate be motivated to acts of love. This is so important because you and I, as a Christ follower, as we come to church and we receive Jesus and we get built up in our faith and we're encouraged with other believers and people come to Jesus, all that we do here, at some point, you and I must step out and show and do acts of love. The Bible says in 1 John 4 that no one has ever seen God at any time physically, but the love of God lives in us. So when you and I do acts of love, the invisible God is seen through you and I acting in his love. And sometimes, you know, we're asking God to move, and some of us are praying, God, use me. Or we're saying, God, come down and just do miracles. God, come down and just show this coworker who you are. God, just come down and change my husband. God, just come down and change my wife. God, just come down and change my teenager. And God can do that. And God does that. And he moves and he will come and visit people. But I believe God would speak right back to us and he would say, yes, I will touch that person, but I'm going to use you to do it. And when you and I do acts of love, it's God not only in us, it's God coming through us. This is so important for us at City Church, and I want to just drive this home as we love people and we build family and we lead the destiny, that we're not just a museum of coming to a church building and we have a good time. We want to be a movement that's doing something for God that is alive, and not just alive in here, we're alive out there. Come on, right? We're alive out there. And we do acts of love. Acts of love is showing other people kindness. Acts of love shows other people mercy. Acts of love is showing Jesus. An act of love can be a sacrifice. But I want to give you a stat. I read this one time about introverted and extroverted people. They said the most introverted person, the shyest, the quietest, the person that doesn't talk, the person that's in the corner and in a group setting, you don't know they're there. Over the span of their working years, which was an average of 35 to 40 working years, that introvert will impact or come in contact with over 10,000 people. And once you think about it, even the most shy a person will have in their work time 10,000 people they can show an act of love to and show who Jesus is. Now just think about how many people my dad can impact. Come on now. It's about 2 million, right? Amen? And me too, because we're talkers. But I want to encourage you, it doesn't matter. And my point is, it doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. You and I can do acts of love right where we're at. As a matter of fact, in our homes, on the job, at school, as we work out at the gym, all those places and more are great opportunities to show acts of love, to show acts of love to our friends and to show them to our enemies. It's a great place to do that, but coming into the house of God and being a part of a local church helps fortify you and I to hold tightly and to be stirred and motivated to do acts of love. This is so important that someone sees Jesus through us. They can see a lot of things through us, can't they? Some people have seen a cussing fool through us. Don't look at your neighbor, look at me. Amen. Some people have seen a madman through us. Some people have seen a lot of different things. Well, now, you know what? Let people see Jesus through us. Let people see a different side. Let people see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we receive Bible information, not just to sit on it and say this or that, but to release Jesus through us and show who he is. I love this, for example, what we're going to be doing on September the 2nd, and they'll have more information, but on September the 2nd, the first Friday of September, from about, I would say, 4 to 7 o'clock, we're going to have an outreach event at the Switchyard Park. We're going to provide free haircuts for those people in need and their children who maybe can't afford a haircut. We're going to provide shoes. Right now, we're collecting shoes from corporations, new tennis shoes that we're going to give to kids and to adults and to help families who need, you know, school supplies or new shoes. And I know school has started. This was the best time for us to do this event. But We're going to give free tennis shoes away to those in need. We're going to have clothes. We're going to give away new clothes and backpacks. We've partnered with Target and other clothing stores that have given us like tons of denim stuff and all this stuff. We're going to be giving away all this stuff for free and blessing people in need. And then someone in our church gave us their car. And so we're going to make sure this car is nice and clean and ready to go. And for those that are 21 years of age and have a proof of a license, they can enter their name to receive a car at this event. We're going to bless someone in need. We're going to show acts of love. We're going to do what Jesus said to do. We're going to bless people. We can do better than that. That's through our teamwork and through our generosity and us being a movement for God. I want to encourage you, if you want to volunteer, you can sign up. But I want to encourage you, this is the essence of one reason why we honor God on the first day. We keep God first things first, first day of the week. We make a rhythm of going to church, not just any church. We're a part of a church that's living, that's alive, but then we're a part of a giving church. And what's happening is we're empowered to hold tightly to our faith. We're empowered to have acts of love. And I want to ask you, who in your life could you do an act of love to this week? When you and I honor what the writer's saying, what the scripture's saying, do not stop meeting together. Do not neglect coming to church, is what he's saying. Here in this verse 25, he said, as some people have done, but especially stay connected as you see Jesus' day of return getting closer. It's so easy to drift away and to make every other thing the first thing of the week. But I want to encourage you, make Jesus the first thing of the week. Jesus himself did this. He was a part of this. You know, some people have said over the years to me at different times, I don't go to church. I love Jesus, but I hate the church. It's impossible to love Jesus and hate his body. Another people have said, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. And I say, yeah, you're right. There are. There's also hypocrites at the bank, at the club, on the job, at school, at the bar, at the sports venue. And that doesn't stop you from going to any of those places. So why are we stopping going into the house of God? Because it may be someone being a hypocrite. It doesn't line up. That doesn't match. And furthermore, when Jesus was in church during his upbringing, the church was very corrupt with Pharisees and Sadducees who were laying the law on people but not going into it themselves. In fact, when Jesus was in church every week on his day of his, I guess, start, he went into his home church and he got the scrolls and he read Isaiah 61, and he sat on the seat reserved for the Messiah, and the Bible says they came and grabbed him and took him out to a cliff to kill him. Welcome to the ministry, Jesus. First message. So Jesus came into a church situation that was not ideal. Furthermore, when he was in his ministry in the Gospel of John, he made a whip and went into a certain church, and he chased out the corrupt leaders and got them out of the church. And then when they all left that church, the kids began to praise God. Notice a scenario here. The children started worshiping, and people got healed of their diseases. So Jesus showed up to corrupt situations to clean it. If Jesus went to church in that environment, you and I have to understand that at some point, I understand the church can hurt us. Trust me, I've been hurt by the church. I understand that there can be things that happen and we can get disappointed and leaders can fall. I know that, absolutely. But in our heart, we're here to worship Jesus. We're here to make the first day, and we start the week as the first day by honoring God, and we choose to be in the house of God because we're here for Christ. And I've been in so many different types of churches. I've worshiped to so many different types of music. I mean, now I'm to the point, if it's about Jesus, I can worship to anything. I can listen to any style of preaching, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. And I just come to the house of God and I join my voice with a lot of other people to lift up who he is. And the church of Jesus should be strong. It should be known. It should be an impact. It should be a beacon of hope and doing good in its community. That's what we want to do. So when you honor God on the first day and you make this priority of God and you're just saying, this is what we're doing, it's not that everything is going to get fixed in a moment. It's that you're building your life on the one who can fix you and me. And we're making this a part of who we are and what we do. You know, even when we talk about money in church, I mean, this is a big deal, but that's another way that we can hold tightly. Acts of love. We're a part of something bigger than ourselves. We're doing this beyond us. We're honoring God with everything. And when we do that, God moves in and through what we're doing. So notice he says, hold tightly, acts of love, and then he says, do good works. Be motivated to do acts of love and do good works. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good because we are saved. And in James chapter 2, verse 17, James says, if you have faith, then show me your good works. Because he says, faith without works is dead. If you and I believe in Jesus and we are a part of the body of Christ, at some point you and I are to do good works. We are to show that we believe what we're talking about. That it's not just a lip service. We're living it and we're doing good works to show that we have trust in Jesus. And when we come to a church on the first day, when we watch online, when we do all this, what's happening is it's fortifying who we acknowledge as God, who we're worshiping. Then it fortifies us to hold tightly to our faith. It helps us to do acts of love. It helps us to do good works, be a part of something bigger than ourselves, and be a part of what Jesus is doing. This is what he wants us to do. And if we're honest, it's hard at times to do good works. There's been times I've nailed it outside of the church. I did an act of love or I did good works and I've nailed it. Other times I've missed it. One time I remember about 18 years ago, I had a lunch and came back to the office and I had some breadsticks and I pulled up and there was a girl, a young girl in a car next to me where I parked. And I just felt this impression, give her the rest of your food. And I started making reasons. Have you been there before? I'm going to embarrass her. I'm assuming she doesn't have food. I want this food, later. All this other stuff. And so before I knew it, I didn't do it. I talked myself out of it. I go in the church. As I'm coming in, an older lady's coming out. And I go in and I ask one of the staff, hey, I just saw this lady in the car and this lady coming out. Is everything okay? And she said, yeah, she just came by and she was asking for some food. We ended up helping him with food. And I felt like such a dummy that God was leading me to do an act of love or a good work. And I talked myself out of it just with nonsense. We don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be some great singer. You can just do the small things and show who Jesus is. But being a part of a local church helps fortify all that. Because to ourselves, we are an island, aren't we? We will live for me, myself, and I. We will just do what we want to do. We will live secluded in our world. And Jesus says, go into all the world. So when you and I are part of a local church and we're honoring God on the first day of the week, the first day, and we're making him a priority, what we're doing is we're in this rhythm of telling ourselves and those with us that this is important. And by being here, we hold tightly to our faith, we're motivated to acts of love, and we're motivated to good works. I want to encourage you to do good works in this building. I want to encourage you to pray about joining the Dream Team. The Dream Team is a compilation of all the volunteers here at City Church. Our goal this year is to add over 100 new Dream Team members. We're over 70 right now for the year. I want to ask you to pray about joining the City Kids. They could use more team members. They're doing a great job. I wanted you to pray about joining the parking team. They could use more team members. Pray about joining the ushers, the media team, helping stream this all over the world. I would ask you to consider doing good works here in the four walls. serve over 44 nations that come here. Be a part of something and let God come through you. Go to Next Steps once a month. It's basically our definition of membership class. We want to learn about you and help you find your niche. All this is biblical. All this is in Old Testament and in New Testament. And when you and I just lend ourselves to Jesus, he's able to do something that is special in our life. And of course, do good works outside of this building. Do good works this week. Bless somebody. Love somebody. Be kind to somebody. Show them who you are and who you believe in. Be a part of Jesus. Some people will say, yeah, PD, I know, but church is imperfect, and I don't trust the preachers, and I don't trust this and that, and they hurt me, all this stuff. No, I get it. And some people say, I just want God to come down. I just want God to move. I want God to change the world. And God would look back and say, yeah, you're right. I'm going to use my church to do it. No. I want God to come down. I want the pure Holy Spirit. I don't want any man involved. I just want God just to show up and come on the stage. I want God just to do it and let him get the glory. Okay. God would say, I'm using my church to do it. No, but I want Jesus because man is imperfect and they've hurt me and they're not going to get it right. And the church has hurt people throughout the centuries. And so, no, it's got to be something different than the church. And God would look right back at you and say, no, it's my church. He created plan A. He didn't create plan B, C, or D. There is no B and C, D plan. It's plan A. And that is the body of Christ being used by God to be the light and salt of the earth and to help people come to Jesus. God is waiting on us. We are waiting on him, we say, but he is waiting on us. He sent the Holy Spirit, and he wants to empower us to go and to preach the gospel and to be an example and to hold tight and to do acts of love and to do good works. No, PD. No. I want it to be God, and God's saying, I want it to be you. I want it to be God in you. Isn't that what Paul said in Colossians? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I love this definition of the Godhead. The heart of God is the Father. The face of God is the Son. The voice of God is the Holy Spirit. The hands of God are the church. Listen to me. You and I are the church individually. I know that. The building isn't the church. We are the church, but the building facilitates the church functioning. The building is not an enemy to the church, and lights and all this other stuff is not an enemy to the church. It's leveraging resources to meet people in a modern way where they're at right now. Back in the day, we used to have projectors with transparency sheets. How many know what I'm talking about? And then someone would be on the front just changing the sheet so the song would keep going. That was what we did at that time. Now technology has advanced. Buildings are not the enemy. It's just the vehicle. But you and I are the church, so we have church here and we have church out there. And Jesus wants us to be open and a part of the body of Christ and really moving through ourselves and going into another place with Jesus. I want to ask you in closing, what Jesus are people seeing through you and I? Are they seeing a too busy Jesus? I'm too good for that Jesus. It's not my way, Jesus. They didn't do this, Jesus. They wouldn't, Jesus. They don't deserve it, Jesus. I misunderstood, Jesus. I'm offended, Jesus. That church didn't acknowledge me, Jesus. I didn't get asked to do this, Jesus. I've been looked over, Jesus. I'm hurt, Jesus. What Jesus are they seeing through us? I pray that today, that being in this place, that we would be motivated to hold tight and to do acts of love and to do good works. And that we do this not based on a feeling. We do this based on a root system with Jesus. I want to end with two stories, drastic different stories. After Bible school, I came back. This is probably 2000 maybe. I was in a meeting with my father. It was the first time I ever witnessed this in person. There was a gentleman that was in our church at that time that God had changed his life and gave him a second chance at life and gave him another chance at being married. And So many different things. He used to lead testimony service. How many remember testimony service? That was always amazing. Remember those back in the day? You didn't know what someone was going to say. Sometimes it was like a home run or a strikeout. You didn't know what was going to happen. I remember one time a guy got up and said, Jesus is my Lord, and the Hoosiers were up by 10 points at halftime. Praise God. And he sat down. Amen. And he used to help with that. And I remember my dad just happened to call me in for this meeting, and he came to tell my dad he was leaving the church. He was quitting church. He was backing out. And really, looking back on it, I appreciate that he gave my dad the chance to even talk to him. Some people don't even do that. You don't have that, even if it's a final thing, you don't have it. And so I appreciate him doing that. But he was saying, I'm quitting. I'm leaving. I'm done with this. And I never forget my dad with a voice of love and a shepherd and what a true pastor does, said, so-and-so, I want to encourage you. We love you no matter what. And I got that from him, to love people whether they stay or go. You love people. You do what's best for them. But my dad looked at him and he said, I'm concerned for you. When you leave God's plan, you're going to be vulnerable to the enemy. What you were delivered of, it's going to come back on you. What you got healed of, you're going to be vulnerable just to be susceptible to it. And he was kind and loving and gave this man a warning. He said, I never forget it. He looked at my dad and he said, thank you for telling me that. And he got up and he walked out. And years later, his life just went down. Not because my dad was right or our church was, that's not what I'm saying. And that wasn't the spirit of my dad. My dad was reaching out in love. And his life just kept getting worse and worse. Finally, he got sick again. And on his deathbed, my dad got the chance to go to his home and his conscience got made right with God, and my father helped him come back to Jesus, and he died, and he went to heaven. But I think about those years he missed out because he let some other thing take him away from the principle of the first day. I want to encourage you in this room, don't do that. Hold on to Jesus. So if I can hold on to Jesus, I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. No, you're right. You don't. But if you want to have heaven on earth and be a part of the plan of God, you have to be a part of a local church. I'm sorry, the Bible says that, not me. The Bible says it. Then I segue to a story of my mother. My dad and mom took over this church 30-some years ago. They were pastors for 30 years. When they first took it, you've heard me tell the story. It was rough. It was hard. And my mom had 4 kids shortly thereafter, and we used to live in the parsonage, so the church was here, and about 100 feet through a small parking lot was our house. And I remember my mom on Sunday morning waking up, and she would get us up, and my dad was just trying to get strength for another rough Sunday. And so he'd be off praying and seeking God, and my mom would be getting all of us together and trying to get it all worked out. And I remember Jenny's hair getting brushed and she'd be screaming in the bathroom and bloody murder. And then my brothers are fighting. And if I'm honest, I'm body slamming them too, because I'm Hulk Hogan and Randy Macho Man Savage. Come on. And it's Sunday morning. We're not even in church yet. And then I remember one day Josh got his dress pants, his shirt and tie, and he's using the bathroom, and he sits down on the toilet, and he floods it, and the whole thing floods over, and he's soaked and wet, and water's all over the floor, and this is before church now. We're not even into church yet. We're not even fighting real devils. We're fighting just the devils, And so then we're all stuff, and where's my dad? He's at praying somewhere anyway. And so my mom is just, but he was trying to get the strength just to do it that day one more time, just one more time. And so my mom, she would get us all over. We walk across the parking lot, sit us down on the front row. It was old school church. You sit on the front row right there as the pastor's kid. You don't move. If you move an inch, you get whipped a lot. So you just sit there. And I remember we had a baby grand piano. And my mom and dad first took the church. They called. They had a meeting. Whoever wants to join the praise team, come to this meeting at 7 o'clock, whatever night it was, and we would have taken anybody. We didn't care if they could sing, play. We would have taken somebody, and no one showed up. My mom went home crying, and so my mom, she'd be up there by herself. No band like today, no other singers, by herself on the baby grand. She just was dealing with a screaming daughter, dealing with 3 boys going crazy, and she's up here just playing, and she's worshiping God, and it's a miracle. The Holy Spirit would come in the room and use my mother, and 75 people would just be lifted up just for a moment and of their burdens and of their pain. And my dad would get up and preach. And then the next Sunday, it was rough and the week was hard. And my mom would get up again and she made a decision. And then God gave the provision to be in the house of God every single week. And I'm here to tell you, there was a lot of tear-filled Sundays. There was a lot of hard Sunday mornings. There was a lot of hard Sunday afternoons after church with nothing happening other than fighting and bickering and arguing. And my mom and dad carrying the burden of that. And my mom would get up the next Sunday and wake us up, and she would get us ready, and she would show up, and she would play that piano by herself, and she would worship God, and she would love him, because she did it not for the people. She was doing it because she loved Jesus. And she took us to the house of God, and we were acting up, but the Lord was coming into us, and God was getting down deep in our soul during the worship. We would hear our dad preach, and God was moving. I'm here to tell you, you keep on going to the house of God. I know some of you right now are crying, and some of you are overwhelmed, and you don't know how you're going to make it. I've been there. My family's been there. You keep showing up because of God. You keep worshiping because of God. You keep giving because of God. You keep getting up because of God, and he will show up. More is happening in you than happening around you. If they don't talk to you, keep on coming. If they don't like you, keep on coming. If you don't understand, keep on coming. If you don't know a way out, you keep on coming, and you keep on going, and God will meet you right where you're at. Come on, give God praise today. This is tenacious faith. This is a decision. When we make the decision, he gives the provision. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we will be in the house in the day of the living. I will live in the house of the Lord. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. That's what David said. Please stand to your feet in this moment. I want to encourage you today. We didn't. And some days, listen, there's some days you say, well, she's a pastor's wife. I know a lot of pastor's wives that don't go to church. Don't think this is easy up here. And that we're just up here ready to go. Woo, hallelujah. You know, we have a show on Sunday. That's not what this is. Not for us. This is a burden. There are bad days for us too. Some Sundays it's tough. We got to get 2 cups of coffee and Holy Spirit smack and let's go, right? Come on. But listen, you're the pastor, you better show up. Well, I know. But listen, you know how many pastors have quit their church in COVID? Preachers can quit too. We all are in this together. We make the decision. God gives the provision, the grace, the empowerment to do it. And if my mom could do it, man, with 4 little kids running around and craziness, and then going over by herself, have no help. And finally, I remember the first praise team we had, and I thank God for all these women. It was like 3 grandmas. It was awesome. I mean, they're up there, and 2 of them are my grandmothers. So my mom made them get up there. And then there's a third lady, her family is coming to church here. It's really cool. But there was 3 older women, and their twilight years is kind of rocking and singing. My mom, we were rocking and rolling, baby. We had a choir, we were going. We had a musician, and then it got even worse. I started playing the drums. God help us. My dad made me. I'm just kidding. I wanted to do it, but we made it work. And there were plenty of times it was hard, but we honored God on the first day. And some of our other days, the next days were not as easy, but we've seen God bless our days. And God will do the same for you. Please bow your head and bow your heart to heaven. And you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus. That means you've never called on the Lord to be your Savior. Others of you would say, I have done that, but today I'm far from God. The Old Testament, it uses the name of backslider. That means you were with Jesus, then you drifted away. And so it's a term called backsliding. But you know what the Bible says? That he's forever married to the backslider. So if you've never done this, or you have, but you're far from him, in this moment right now, heads bowed, hearts bowed, you would say, that's me. I need to receive Jesus, come back to Jesus. I need him today. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep your hand raised. Give them a hand as they're receiving Christ. We're not here to embarrass you. We're here to help you. We're here to help you. We just want to give you something. This is just going to help you move forward in your faith. Come on, that's powerful. Over 10 people coming to Christ today. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how many would say at home you respond to? Let us know. We're here to pray for you. And you would say, you know, Pastor Dave, I'm here, but I want the strength to keep making the first day the first thing. I want the first day to be honored. I want to honor Jesus. I want to just have the strength, vacation, sure, have a break. Yes, I understand that. But the rhythm of my life, I'm going to make the first day with God the priority. I want to hold tight. I want to do acts of love. I want to do good works. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room and on land today. And follow me and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I give you me. I'm yours forever. Through the Holy Spirit, help me keep you first. I honor the first day by making you my Lord, being a part of your church. I hold tight. Help me do acts of love. Help me do good works. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him a great hand clap of praise. He deserves it today.